Mr. Clarkson, reel 37.
What was the occasion of a funeral, actually? What happened? What was the pomp and circumstance of a funeral?
Well,
in the
this one...
of an officer.
At the... that's what I meant. It was on the Ben McCree when I was taking passage there in Suez. And the engineer came out, he walked down the ladder one morning and died. And we had to bury him quick, as in Suez. We worked all night. I was taking passage there, and there were two shipwrights there, belonging to the ship. And we worked all night making a platform for a coffin to go on a gun carriage, because they heard there was a gun carriage out somewhere out in the desert that they could borrow for this. I haven't told you about this before, have I? Well, at the appointed time, we had a burial the next morning. It was a quick funeral. We painted this. Now, I don't think the paint's dry yet on there. And then off went the mourners, and including us, carrying this platform to go on a gun carriage, which had to be taken up to a hospital at Suez. We didn't know the size of the coffin or anything up there. We had to guess at that, but we took some battens to screw onto the top of this platform to hold the coffin in place, because we had to go over some rocky ground. And anyway, the first lieutenant went in charge of the party. And when we got to the hospital, we halted outside the mortuary, and there was the gun carriage, a young artillery lance corporal in charge of it, horse and that. And the two of us nipped into the mortuary, measured up the coffin, came out, put the platform on the top of the... what part of the gun cage would that be now? The
stock.
Yeah, anyway, wherever that goes. Screwed the battens on, and they carried the coffin out and put it on there. By this time, our nice white suits were smothered in black paint. Very painful. However, this first lieutenant, he was a big head who knew everything, and he was going to make sure that this coffin wouldn't fall off. And he had it lashed fore and aft. Well, it had a forecarriage on it, so that when that turned, this went straight on. And this lance corporal said, "You can't do that, sir." He said, "It's got a forecarriage on there." He said, "Don't you start telling me what I've got to do." "All right," said this lance corporal, he shut up. The result was, the first turn we took, shortly after we left the hospital, so the coffin came in half. Yes. The horse turned left, and the coffin tried to go straight on, but it couldn't. And there was a horrible groaning screeching. And the sides of the coffin opened, and the bloke proceeded to get out. So we had to rush and push the corpse back in, pull the coffin back, take off the ropes, and screw battens on the side then to hold it. That was eventually, of course, this lance corporal, he was grinning, he was highly delighted. And the lieutenant commander, he was foaming at the mouth there. And when we got to the cemetery, it was rough, rocky ground we had to go over. So they carried him in head first, instead of feet first. They had to come out again and turn round. It was an awful mess up. And then, having got this poor soul interred eventually, he said, "All right, you can make your own way back to the ship, and you can count this as a day's leave." So they went back and all mustered on Serafina's Bar. And we spent the day there, so everybody was real well and truly drunk. But that was the only officer's funeral that I went to, I think. Because when we were down the Red Sea, I buried him. That was my job. The old chief and I, we had quite a lot die of heat apoplex.
Tell me about how you arranged it, how you arranged the burials and...
Well, a fellow would die, he'd be taken ill. It was only about a 12-hour job. They'd never lasted much longer. Wake up in the morning feeling not too well, and well, they guessed then it was the heat apoplex he had. If they had ice, they'd lay the slabs of ice on the deck and lay the fellow wanted to try and bring his temperature down, but they never did. They always died. They'd be dead by sunset. Then they had to be sewn up.
Who did that?
Able Seaman Hanrahan. Real character he was. Used to sew them up in canvas and put fire bars in, but he always used to put them at the head and feet. The result was, when we went to bury him, the old chief shipwright, and we had a big mahogany board about that wide, moment, with beckets at the end there, and we used to go out on the gangway platform, because the ladder was in, and we sit there, and when the captain was reading the burial service, he used to come to committing this body to the deep, and old Tom, the chief, used to say, "Oh, George," and we used to lift him up and shoot him off. Well, where Hanrags had got these spar bars at the feet and the head, they used to come up together like that, and you could always hear the bloke's back broke before he hit the water. But we had quite a lot like that.
Was that his custom, was it, to do that, do you think? Was that?
Bury him at sea, yes. Fire bars.
Fire bars, but the idea of putting one, because when they dropped, obviously, they would come.
Yeah.
And that was what he did, was it?
That was what he did. And as much as you told him about it, he used to be sewing away. He'd do anything for a couple of bob, would Hanrahan. Great seaman, he was.
Did you get extra money for sewing up the canvas?
Oh, yes.
You got
five bob.
Five bob.
Yeah. And he'd be slowing and say, "Come on, look, it's wait and see," and he'd still be sewing them up. So he'd be sewing the canvas to the body. Great character he was.
Can I ask you, actually, there used to be a saying, a custom in the merchant service, that when you were sewing the coffin up, sewing up the canvas with the body, that the last stitch, they put it through the man's nose.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
You never? Well, yeah. Maybe it never happened. But you never heard Hanrahan talk about that sort of thing, or any little tricks he had?
No, and yet he was a fellow who'd served an apprenticeship in a sailing ship. His father was a captain of a sailing ship.
That's interesting, yes.
And other funerals, where we made a coffin, and I remind this awful Tidmarsh's commission shipwright, because he didn't know anything about it, and I said, "No, lining it," I said, "we're allowed 3.5 yards of cloth for that, you know." "Oh, are you?" And I said, "Yes, but you don't put it in, you put flannel in," I said, "and you keep the cloth, and the fellow who made the coffin, he has a suit made out of that." "Oh, I couldn't, rob the dead." I said, "He wouldn't know anything about it." But that's what
it was. Is that a custom, actually? Is that a custom? Were you just having him on, and was that a naval custom?
Yeah, oh, it was a fact. You could demand 3.5 yards of cloth, and that was the amount of cloth that was required to make a suit with waistcoat, yeah. But you used to put flannel in, which was much cheaper, navy flannel, 8 pence a yard, you see. And we wouldn't have that.
Well, was burial at sea a dignified affair? Was it quite a serious affair? Can you describe the custom and the tradition?
Well, tell you about another fellow who committed suicide, and we were up in the Corporal of Marines, and we were up the Adriatic, and we couldn't bury him ashore in consecrated ground. He had to be buried at sea. The people ashore there, I suppose the Balkan people, they didn't want it, and we were anchored there, so we had to go to sea to bury him. Now, we made the coffin on the Sunday. Worked all day, two of us. They put me on the sick list. I remember we just finished it, and about dinner time, the captain came down and the admiral to have a look, see how we were getting on. And I stood back very proudly. We had the coffin on two stools. And we had five half-hundredweight sinkers on each handle. And very nice to the captain, very nice indeed. And I stood back very proudly, and I kicked one of these bloodhounds away, and it fell on my big toe of the coffin. It busted. I was on the sick list for about 3 weeks. But apart from that, we went out for the funeral the next morning, get outside the 3-mile limit, and they'd got the coffin pulled out, all ready to slide off the gangway platform. cleared lower deck, got all the ship's company out, and there was the parson ready to read the service. And all of a sudden, the door of the beef screen opened up, and out came the butcher, who was a marine, and he was a buffalo. And so was the fellow that committed suicide. The Royal and Ancient Antediluvian Order of Buffaloes. Actually, the poor man's Freemason. Anyhow, old Butch, he was a drunken so-and-so. He was the senior buffalo on there, and he decided that this would be a buffalo's funeral. And so he marched out with his regalia on, followed by two or three of his officers, who were also buffs, marched up, pushed the chaplain out of the way, and the captain stood back, and he conducted a buffalo's funeral. First time, it was the first and only one I've ever seen. But everybody stood back in to let Butcher have a go. That was that. That was a one at sea.
How did they set it up? You said clear lower decks. Was the ship stopped?
Ship stopped, ship
was,
yes.
This way was put off. The captain read the service.
That's it, the captain read the service, or the chaplain, if there's a chaplain there.
Or, in one case, the
yes.
buffalo.
And there's a prayer said,
yeah.
And they pushed over the side in a coffin. Bored holes in it, I believe we did. Yes, we bored holes in it. Yes, so it would sink.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't
but you could also put them over in canvas with just the fire bars.
In ordinary circumstances, yes.
Yes. And in ordinary circumstances.
Well, this was where you didn't have the material to make a coffin.
Yeah.
Like we've got old sailing ship days, for instance. It all descended from there. And when we were at the Red Sea, well, there were only two of us there. We had no timber, mm-hmm. much. And it had to be a quick job. No sooner he was dead than he had to be sewn up.
Where would they keep him while they were, apart from the ice on deck? I mean, was there anywhere else that they put the body while you were working or while you were getting it ready? Or had 12 hours you gave the time? I mean, where would they have the body during that time?
Oh, the body on the upper deck.
On the upper deck.
Yes. I've seen them there when we did have a refrigerator afterwards. And slabs of ice about that long, about that wide, I suppose, and about 3 inches thick. And they'd lay them on the deck, and they'd have the body on it, pressed in around him. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody recover from it.
Do you think the Navy treated that sort of death with dignity, would you say?
Whatever.
Did the Navy treat that sort of death with dignity, basically?
Oh,
you say it was a dignified thing?
Yes, although the first thing that happens as soon as the breath is out of a body, the most important thing is to stop his wife's allotment. That is the first thing that happens. And then later on, his kit is gathered together and that is sold by auction. You mean you all go up there and you buy a suit, a pair of boots, something like that, not because you want them, but everybody is, they buy something just to swell the fund up for his widow to.
Who organises that, actually? Who organises the auction of the man's belongings?
Well, in a big ship, the commander, or the first lieutenant, and the I always remember one fellow, the marine that had been ashore with me the day before in Cameron Island, and we sat out there in the blazing sun drinking hot beer one afternoon, six of us, and he was dead the next day. He took his helmet off. And he used to do my washing. I just paid him £2 for the month's washing. I'd also lent him £2 while we were having a drink there. And then they came round collecting for him. So I thought, well, I've plenty of money then. I'll make him give him another £2. So his death cost me £6. Because they came round and with a book that he had, his Dobian book, and he hadn't cost me off as pay him. So he said, I see you owe the corpse £2. And he said, So it was a very expensive death for me.
That was the custom with a death, that the Navy would organise an auction of his belongings. Oh, yes. Everybody would buy things you didn't want.
Old, yes.
This went to the wife.
Yes.
This went to her. But allotment stopped, and that was her pay stopped when he died.
Oh, yes. That was the first thing that ever happened anywhere. By the way, I was going to tell you about that. You know, when you went away on foreign service, you went to the Mediterranean, for instance, you had to be inoculated.